Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
We do need him every hour. We can't live without you, Jesus. I know I'm a mess when I try. I know I'm a mess when I get too busy and forget to even glance your way. I hate when that happens. I like the spirit of peace. I like to walk in peace. And some days get busy and it's a little harder than others to connect or dial in and rest in his presence. And, you know, I remember when I first started hanging out with the Lord, I didn't know. I experienced his presence in a service. And it was Edgar and Holly Bailey services years ago. And his presence would just come on me and I would just get like healed or stuff would surface up that I just needed to deal with. And I didn't know it, but somehow the presence caused the issues in my heart to come up, to surface, so that him and I could deal with them and work through some of them. And I didn't know how to host his presence. I didn't know how to rest in him. I only knew how to do it at the services. And so I would go to church services, you know, in seeking his presence. And, you know, he would come upon me and I would feel so much better. And you know, back in those days, my life was really in a bad place. And, you know, feeling good for an hour or 2 hours was like life to me back then. And it wasn't until, you know, because what would happen is I would rest and get filled and I'd leave and it would last like a day or a day and a half. And I'd be like, how do I connect with you? You know, and it's really by relationship. There's no other way. Now we can host the presence and, you know, the presence is everywhere. His presence is everywhere. But he dwells among believers. And there's a, for me, the easy way was just to go to services and then I would like take what he told me in the service and work on it for the whole week, sometimes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. Oh, 7 years later, here we are again, still trying to work on this. And what I love about him is he's so patient and kind and he doesn't judge me like other people do. And that's how I get through life today. I don't care if people judge me, they do, but I only care about him and what he says. I've learned to get thick skin among my brothers and sisters of Christ. As sad as that is, there's a lot of judgment in the church pews. And, you know, you got to be whole to be a minister. And what I love is sometimes, you know, stuff would come up and I wasn't whole and I'd have to work it out with him, you know, throughout the week, the days, the months, not years, thank you, Lord, on that. But, you know, his desire is to have his bride whole. You know, he purchased everything for us. We don't have to earn it, which I think is so cool. I was the master manipulator and schemer, and so if there was a way to buy into presence, I would have done it. And I'm so thankful that he's free, that everything he released is free, and you can't cheat your way into the presence. And others may not know that if you haven't been in the presence in a while. Some people don't know, and what I'm talking about is daily communication with either through the Word, the Father, the Spirit, or Jesus. And it's important to eat and dine on the Word and be in his presence daily. And, you know, in my younger years, I didn't realize the importance of it because I was still so connected to the world and achievements and purpose and expectations. Goodness gracious, expectations will kill us. Yeah. You know, who decided what an expectation is supposed to be? I mean, if we think about expectations, is any of them really true? It's like a false curtain. And then if you think you've measured and got that expectation, it rises. And you got to try to achieve the bar of that expectation. It's a false system. It's a kingdom. It's a fleshly system designed to keep you under pressure. Yeah. I don't want pressure today. I want peace. I tasted the goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. One night in prayer, his peace came in me, and it's never left. And I guard his peace. And you know, like when we were singing, was that Cece? You know, my life is better. You know, I'm telling you, my life is better when I'm following him. And you know, that could be such a casual statement to most people. But if you live with me on a weekly basis, I remember my kids. You know, if I didn't get my prayer time in, if I didn't get to go to church, if I didn't get to study his word, you know, my kids paid the price for that because I was a crabby mom, you know, because I by nature, you're a crabby person, you know, because we're part of the fall. And so thank you, Jesus, we've been redeemed from that curse and we can choose joy. But you have to choose joy. I mean, I could choose crabbiness right now very easily. But does that bring life or abundance? No. So I force myself to choose joy, and I choose it a lot. You know, I choose to be joyful in all things. All things. You know, I'm not talking about a few things. I'm talking about all things. And you think about that, and you think, well, you don't have my situation. Oh, boy. I'd trade shoes with a couple of you. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, we always think it's so better for somebody else. It's truly not. It's better in us. It's better with God. And that's the way he designed it. And the enemy's like, oh, look over there. They got it all together. Don't you want to be like them? No, thank you. I've been created in the image of God. He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows the design of my belly button. And he created me that way. I don't want your belly button. I love my belly button. And I'm proud of my belly button. And because he gave it to me. I mean, he did that. Oh, you think the doctor did that? No. Because how come it's different for every people? It's like it's DNA of, I'm not even going to go there with the pipe. Oh, no, we're not going there. It's too deep for tonight. About the pipeline to heaven. I'm waiting. Then he'll let me talk, but there's no, so I'm not talking. When we were in worship tonight, I saw a couple people's hearts in here, and they were bleeding hearts. And I started to weep because I could feel the compassion of Jesus. And what I saw was like an isolation of like, I don't have English words, Father, give this to me. It was like a barricade. A protection around this bleeding heart because there's been soul damage. And what I saw was I saw Jesus take his garment. He was in white, and he just came up, and he put his arm around you, and he took his sleeve, and he was wiping the blood off of the bleeding heart. He was cleansing the broken heart. And I was like so sad and weeping, and the Lord looked at me, and he was like, why are you weeping? And I'm like, you know, it's one of my brothers and sisters. And he said, I've died for that. I've got this. And I thought, oh, you do. And so I'm speaking to the few bleeding hearts in here tonight. Jesus has you. He's going to heal the broken hearts in here. He's doing triage right now. And what I love about him is he doesn't just whip it through and get her done. He takes his time, and he does it so meticulously. He's so perfect in every way that he does it where it doesn't bring forth pain. It brings forth healing. And so, you know, I'm not calling you out. I don't need to. There's a few of you in here that the Lord is doing this with. And let him... trust him enough to let him tend to your wounds. He wants to tend to your wounds. And because of years of expectations and trials and misunderstandings and broken dreams and broken promises and reliance on other people and the failed system in the earth, that it's like a cage that I saw, but it was like to protect your hearts. But what I love about Jesus is he can reach into a cage and cleanse without doing any damage. And that's what he's doing. And I see the cage start to loosen inside a heart, you know, because sometimes it grows, you know, it like gets so bad, it like gets like, the words are hard to say, like infected, you know, like stuck in there, like the cage starts to grow around, the skin starts to grow around it, and he's pulling that away in such a gentle way. So let him do that. Just, you know, if that's you, just say, I quietly say, I give you permission to tend to my wounds tonight, Father. I give you permission to tend to my wounds, Jesus. And I'm not looking at you. I don't care if your mouth is moving or not. You know that. But when you give him permission, it's wonderful, because you're his beloved child who he died for and wants to breathe resurrection power into your situation and into your life. And the resurrection power is not the way you think, because you're expecting an outcome in the natural to go a certain way. So you have a false expectation or a false hope, and it's causing more soul damage. And then the enemy comes along and says, well, it's not getting any better. You better just take care of this yourself. No one's helping you. And here's the thing. That is a false mirror of the enemy, because self-reliance is of the flesh. Really, the mirror of heaven says, come to me, all who are weary, who are heavy burdened. Lay upon me, and I will give you rest. Lay your issues upon me, and I will give you rest. And so for those of you who are strong in the room, or I've had enough with people, I'm not doing this, I can't take anymore. Listen, God is not people. He is your beloved. He's your soulmate. He is the one who created you for all things good and wants you to be prosperous. And so allow him to tend to your wounds. And this isn't for everybody, but you know how the Lord is. He loves to minister how he wants to, and we're just going to let him, because that's what we do here at Spirit of God Worldwide. We let God be God. We don't have an agenda. Sometimes he gives us a message. Sometimes he doesn't. And so tonight he's just tending to his little flock of sheepy that are hungry for life. Yes, Kim?
Could we all say, like, just to help cover for people that might want God to tend to their, could we all say, give God permission?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Just to protect those who are bold enough to speak it or whisper it.
Yeah, I remember that, Kim, you know, being too shy and bound to, I don't want them to know it's me. You know, and when, if that's you, you can quietly do it under your breath, which I did for years. But we're going to do, we're going to just come into agreement, and we're going to all say it out loud. Because what if it's you and you don't know it? Yeah. What if you've got an issue in your heart that you think is well taken care of, but you're blind to it because you're so calloused? Because it's been so long that you don't even know you need heart surgery.
That's good.
I'm just saying. So, Father,
we
give you permission,
to
tend to our heart wounds.
Jesus,
come and cleanse my wounds.
Remove the cages
or
wires
that have attached to my inside.
That are causing pain
or infection.
I give you permission.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kim. So, I'm just going to listen for a minute if you don't mind. I'm hearing the words opposition, and I'm not sure what that is representing, but I'm just going to, once I release it, he'll give me more on it, and so I'm just going to go with that. And so with opposition, what's the definition of opposition, Kim?
Opposition is like, if you're in a war, it's the it's opposing forces coming against something that God wants to do. Or opposition is resistance to a promise.
Okay. So somebody needs to Google that. Let's Google it. Who's got it? Kim. Yeah, she's fast with her phone. It's a weapon.
Opposition means resistance, disagreement, or a group that fights against something.
That's it. That's it. Okay, thank you. So a group that fights against something. It's family situation. There's family situations. I'm just going to go by the Holy Ghost. There's opposition in a household, and it's because, I see it clear. There's two opposing forces, and both think they're right. Ouch! And so nobody will win in that type of battle because it's a plan of the enemy to get you to stand your ground no matter what. And the opposite of opposition is agreement in the spirit. And so I'm seeing, like, in the spirit, I'm seeing like three strings. And so I don't know if it's three different people in here or three different situations. But so what I'm going to say is going to apply, but it's going to apply in different situations differently. So you'll hear a ding, or you'll feel like, oh, she's talking to me on this one. And so opposition over here, I'll just be as clear as I can. Opposition over here is, oh my goodness, Mr. Know-it-all. That's what I heard the Lord Jesus said, Mr. Know-it-all. Mr. Know-it-all has a plan. Mr. Know-it-all knows it all. But Mr. Know-it-all is basically, he is afraid of intimacy with the Lord. And so he's built a barricade of worldly wisdom to showcase his great triumphs and I don't want to say it, Lord. Lord, give me some gentle words. When you build your own kingdom, when you have built your own kingdom and you sit upon the throne, that's idolatry and opposition. And there will never be peace until there has been repentance. And there won't be repentance until there's a tumbling off of the throne. And God's not punishing. God's not causing a tumbling because he's given us free will. And am I facing the wall? Yeah. I'm talking to the neighbors out there. So God doesn't cause, usually he doesn't cause bad things to happen. He allows situations and circumstances to play out through free will. And because of a self-made man, and this could be a woman, but I'm just generalizing it, a self-made man who proclaims all things, just give me a minute. I'm processing this with the Lord. I'm actually seeing Queen Esther in this as a parable, going before the Lord, going before the king, and her boldness actually causes a crumbling of the throne. And I don't know how it plays out. I really don't want to look in that deep. I could if the Lord has me do it, but its design is to bring forth restitution and right order in a heavenly and godly relationship. And years and years of building and brick upon brick has caused this to happen. And human efforts have been brought in to do changes, but they're temporary because they're not of the Lord. They're man-made situations or solutions that will only bring or delay the righteousness of God and the order of God. And I hope that makes sense to whoever that's for. And actually, I'm still seeing the three, so it might be somebody over here. I thought it was like over here, but I'm not seeing that. I think I was just supposed to stand over here. I don't know. But so I don't know if it's a marriage. I think it's a marriage that, well, with Queen Esther, you know, she was devoted. You know, she was a very devoted and set apart. And, you know, she made her request known before the king, and history was changed because of it. And I sense that this is a situation similar where history will be changed because of it. And I don't know how that's going to play out, but what I'm going to say is, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to give direction and wisdom on how to pray and what to say. In Jesus' name, amen. On that, amen. I hope that's not too heavy. Okay. So, I'm seeing, oh man. I want you guys to know, I don't plan any of this, okay? I could be just as easily as staying home tonight. I don't like to expose stuff, but I'm seeing it, and God wants you to know there's help. And he sees it too, and he wants to bring forth victory. I'm seeing opposition of, and here's the thing. I know when you're joined together with your spouse, you are one. You know, you're one with your spouse. And even though you're one with your spouse, you still have unique personalities and characteristics. And that's the way God designed it, which is so cool, because one complements the other. He didn't make you both the same. He made you a little opposite, which causes a balance in the spirit realm if tended to in a godly way. And so what I'm seeing is an opposition, and I'm seeing in this one, I'm seeing a big steam, not a, it's not a steamroller, it's a big bulldozer. You know, like the ones that they do on big highways, not county roads, but the big highways, those big, big bladed things, and they move dirt. I'm seeing a stronghold, and I see a very big steamroller, and I'm sorry, it's not a steamroller, a very big bulldozer, and then I see some roadblocks, like road closed construction, and I see opposition, I see a table, and it's not a kitchen table, but it's a table that that both spouses are at this table, and there's so much strife that what I'm seeing is it's my way. No, it's my way. It's my way. It's my way. It's my way. And meanwhile, the highway bulldozer is coming in and wanting to do destruction and damage. And it's very easy when you're in a situation like that to just say, fine, roll us over. I don't care anymore. But that is a design of the enemy to trick and deceive and get you caught up into the distractions. And here's the thing. They're earthly distractions. God has a solution, but there's people butting their heads against each other, trying to work it out in the flesh, and it's only bringing corruption. Because there's no compromise. It's my way, or it's my way, or it's the highway. And so each one's saying, it's my way. I've got a better way. I'm not going to do it. Oh, you're not going to do it. I'm not doing it. I quit. Well, this bickering going back and forth, oh, man, this bickering going back and forth is actually feeding the host of demons that have been assigned to this target to dismantle this family dynamic. And I see the Lord. And here's the thing. I see the Lord, and he's at the table, but both parties refuse to negotiate. So he's sitting there, and he's waiting. His arms are open, and he wants to bring the arms and lock them together because a threefold cord is uneasily broke. And I'm seeing this threefold cord between husband, wife, and Jesus. And there's a victory here, but because of stubbornness, bitterness, and a long season of trials and torment and baggage and damage, the enemy is like, you know, having a field day. Now, here's the thing. How can this be? How can this be? What is the cause? Well, the cause is there's open doors. We need to close the doors to the demonic realm. And there's many doors that need to be closed. And the Lord's saying it's not too late. He is the resurrection power force behind all things. And he wants to bring forth resurrection power in your marriage, in your life, in your finances, in your homes, in your business. And because of fear and feelings of abandonment, there's a, I'll get it done myself. No, thank you. I've had enough. And here's the thing. It's important whenever you're in a situation that seems crushing, it's important to keep checking on your heart, not your spouse's heart, but your heart to see how you are doing. Are you building judgment in the spirit? Are you building frustration? Here's the key is to go to God. The key is to go to Jesus. The key is to read the scriptures. Because when you do that, you're pumping yourself up with life, power, and presence. But if you decide to fight and bicker and compromise, you're staying at a lower level, and it's a lower level that will is designed to keep you in a lower state. God wants to elevate you, and I actually see platforms, like platforms in the spirit that the Lord has called you to stand on, and it's for righteousness' sake. One has to do with babies. I think it's abortions and saving lost souls, and that's all part of the call and the design. It's like a missing calling. It's a calling that has been covered because of all the cares in the world and responsibilities that need to be tended to, and it's all trickery. And I can see, here's the thing: I have seen the Lord move a storm by speaking. Now that is the power that He's given us, and so the heart has to be right, and the heart is hard to get right because it's so easy to justify why you're right and why your spouse is wrong or your worker is wrong or whatever. Our nature is to prove we're right no matter what. And none of that matters. What matters is trying to get back into the secret place. You know, the crustiness grows when there's strife. I'm just telling you the truth. When there's strife in your home, crustiness grows. And if you think you're spiritual and you have strife in your home, I'm just going to tell you, there's crustiness under the covers. It's time to air it out. And it's okay. It happens. But let's say, okay, it happens. Open up the curtains. Open up the windows, and let's get some fresh Holy Ghost air in to clear out the debris and bring forth his goodness. He's got a plan. I don't know it, but he does. And so that's the second one. And the third one has to do, it's a weird thing I'm seeing. This is a weird night. It's the third one I'm seeing is a plan of the enemy. It's a structure that he built. It's the weirdest thing. It's a structure that he built to, I don't know the words on this. It's designed to keep a false pressure. It's a spiritual attack is what it is. It's, you know, these first two were like fleshly involved. The second one is really a demonic strategy that the enemy is using to block spiritual growth and spiritual discernment. And how it works is there's strife. There's strife, and I don't see the cause or the root of it, but it's like a wave of strife that, oh, I see it. It's like a frequency in the spirit. It's kind of like a weird thing that is sent, and it causes strife to rise up just for a little bit, which is like a static, and then it causes you to go into protection mode, and I see you doing this, like you know, like your fist clenched down by your side, and there's like self-protection there. And I don't know, this is actually for two people that I can see, and they're not, you know, it's just a weird spiritual attack. And one is used frequently to block spiritual growth. And so you come into agreement with this, and it causes a stalemate. It causes like a stunting. And so, gosh, I feel like we need to do like a proclamation, because I'm sensing that there's more people that this is for. This is probably too weird for some of you, but can anybody relate to this? Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I'm speaking to this side of the room. But it's for everybody. You know, I can feel the Lord's heart over here, but it's always for other people. And so I feel like we're going to do a proclamation, because sometimes the strategies in the spirit, like a demonic strategy, it's hard to see it because there's a layer or a covering, a demonic covering, like a cloudiness that if you're not sharp, you won't catch it. And how you get sharp is you pray in the spirit and you get above the situation and you look down and go, oh, I see it now. Thank you, Jesus. What do you say? And how do we dismantle it? That's how you win these things. But for right now, this has been a setup, and I'm believing it's for many people in the body of Christ are unaware that they even have this thing. But I'm sensing it over here on this side, but other people raise their hands in the other side of the room. So we're all going to say this proclamation, and I got to get it from the Lord, though. So, okay. Father, I am so sorry that I came into agreement with this demonic assignment, with these waves of strife, which has caused a dullness in the spiritual realm to keep me capped and bound so that I don't break through to the next level in you. Thank you for showing me this. I give you permission to remove the caps and heal my heart. And help me recognize when a trigger from the demonic realm is sent, and help me not to react in my flesh and build a wall of self-protection. I am so sorry that I even participated in that. Obviously, I didn't know. But I'm asking you to show me this strategy when it comes up again, so I can take full authority by the power of the Holy Spirit to dismantle this assignment forever in Jesus' name. Yeah. Bam. That was good. I saw like a bam in the spirit, like, you know, like a unshackling of a hiddenness. See, when the thief is caught, you know, the sevenfold return is wonderful because it's from the Father. It's not from the thief, because the thief you can't trust.
Right.
And so that's what I love, because the thief was just caught by, you know, by the power of God. He revealed something. And so I'm expecting acceleration, acceleration, acceleration in the spirit for everyone in here, everyone in here, everyone in here in Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, amen, amen, amen. I'm hearing the words troubled waters. And what I'm seeing is, this is so weird. What I'm seeing is I'm seeing the waters, troubled waters, and they actually have the words troubled waters on them, and I'm seeing them call out, and it's really a fake strategy of the enemy to get you to want to go into the troubled waters. It's like a calling, and here's how it works. We say no to the troubled waters. It's a wooing. It's a false wooing of from the demonic realm to get you to believe trouble. Trouble. And so whose report are you going to believe? That's the bottom line on this. Whose report are you going to believe? If you're sensing trouble, let's deal with that. Is there people sensing trouble in the room tonight? One? Okay, good. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. So let's deal with it, okay? Because trouble is demonic trouble. It's not you're in trouble by God. It's not a trouble like that, and you're not in trouble by your parents, you're not in trouble by your boss. This is a fake assignment by the enemy to woo you in to a pot of trouble. Why? Because we have to discern in the spirit who's calling us and where we're going to listen. And so right now, you can say this if you want. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you've exposed
a false troubling water.
I am not going in that.
I thank you, Lord,
for the discernment you put inside of me
that is increasing
through exercise and use.
I see it now.
And then I want you to think about this, because I see like assignments labeled trouble. I will, and then if that's you and you see it, I want you to recognize that and say, I am not going in that path.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus,
Jesus,
I'm choosing
for you
to lead me
by the still waters,
where I'll drink
from your presence.
And get the nourishments of heaven
to grow in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So I see a well, like a structure, like a well, like not like a well that we have today that, you know, the drillers do with a machine, but I'm seeing an old-fashioned well, and it's a wooden structure. And it's got like a covering over it. And I see this bucket going deep down into the well. And I hear the Lord saying, come and drink, come and drink. And so I release the deep wells of God to come and drink of his presence, of his revelation, of his love, of his excitement for you. Because he's so excited for you. He's so excited to show you off. And I'm seeing him actually putting on garments of different garments on different people in here tonight. I'm hearing the words graduation, and I don't know what that means, but it seems to mean promotion, like acceleration. And so I just release promotion and acceleration in the spirit right now. For everything that God has desired for you to have and believe in it and walk in, I release the promises of God over your life. The promises have been released, but I release the remembrance of the promises over your life that have been spoken. Sometimes years go by and we get like, did God really say that? I'm stirring up in the well tonight. I'm stirring up in the water the promises of God to rise forth and to have life and substance to them now. And I'm seeing as I say that and I'm stirring, I'm seeing a bookshelf and I'm seeing the Lord pulling off books and handing them out to people like it's books of destiny and purpose and promises. And so I release that right now to everyone in this place. And thank you, Father, for your promises. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I see a fruit basket, and it's mainly apples in there, and they're beautiful, shiny apples. And I wonder what apples represent.
Apple in my eye. Isn't that a...
Yeah, I don't know. What?
Forbidden fruit.
That's the bad part. This is good. Yeah. It's a prophetic statement, but I don't know what it's representing. We need Janet. What? Say it.
Teachers?
Oh, okay.
Wisdom, divine care, and sweet fellowship.
How about that one? Okay, so we'll leave the fleshly thoughts to ourselves, and we'll take wisdom.
So and then there's a little scripture. Okay, so wisdom, divine care, and sweet fellowship.
Oh, wow. So I saw like a basket of apples, and then around the apples there's a garnish, and I don't know what it is, but it's beautiful. Oh, it's mint. It's mint. I don't know what mint means, but I feel like the Lord is inviting us to dine and take of His pleasurable promises, and Kim's going to tell us what mint means.
Joyful declarations, which we've been doing tonight, and fruitful growth, which the stunted got.
Yeah.
Everything you spoke tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that sweet?
Say it again, God's faithful promises, joyful declarations, and fruitful growth.
I love that. Yeah. I love, don't you just love, I just want to weep, because he's like sealing it with a kiss of a picture of apples and mint. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just love you so much. We thank you for everything you released in here. We thank you for the surgeries that you did. We thank you for the direction and maybe some correction and some wisdom and some strong fellowship in you. We just bless you. We thank you for letting us drink from your wells of glory tonight and for your promises to come forth. In Jesus' name, amen.